Same.
Hello, Bulls fans. Welcome to another episode of the Chicago Bullseye. I'm your host, Mark Lewenthal. With me, as always, is the doctor, the captain, the man of the at the top of the ship, Fred, the Hitman Pfeiffer. What's going on, big guy?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you, brother? Things going well?
Things are going well. Exciting couple days, considering the fact that the Bulls are out of the playoffs right now. It's still pretty exciting on the Bulls front, to say the least.
How about it? I mean, I said today is one of the, well, I think in years from now, we'll look back and say today was one of the best days in Bulls history. I'm a big believer in Fred Hoiberg. I think he's going to be an excellent coach. I think it was an excellent choice, and I think we're all going to look back and laugh that people were upset with this pick. I'm happy to say that I think there were more people that were supportive of the pick than were against it. And I think he did an excellent job in the press conference today. But, you know, I just see a ton of similarities between what happened today and what happened last year with Golden State, where a coach was let go, did a fine job, you know, won over 50 games in the West, defensive-oriented coach with a, you know, kind of a caveman offense, let go, very popular, let go, at least very popular with the fans. And the difference is that you know, between Jackson and Mark Jackson and Thibodeau is that Jackson was very popular with his players. Thibodeau isn't. And that's kind of the thing that not a lot of people are talking about. I mean, he lost the team. That's been confirmed by Nick Friedel and others. But, and then, you know, you look at the Bulls this year, I think, and then so flash back to last year where Steve Kerr takes over, a guy with really no NBA coaching experience, but front office experience, very personable, still followed the league, you know, and just a resounding success. I see a lot of similarities between that and what I think is going to happen with Fred Hoiberg, a guy with front office experience. He's different than Steve in that he actually has done something in the coaching ranks by taking a, you know, a horrible Iowa State team and rebuilding it in just four short years to making a contender in the Big 12 and, you know, an annual pretty much a team that you should expect to see in the NCAA tournament. And I'm just ecstatic, man. I don't have anything good things to say. And plus, he's got a great first name, so you know he's going to be good.
I mean, I've said it throughout the years. I think I said it on the last show that, you know, it's tough for me to grade coaches if they've never really coached at the NBA level. I mean, look, I mean, as a whole, I feel like coaching experience at the NBA level is helpful. I did listen to the press conference today, and you know, he said all the right things. It was as if Fred Hoiberg had been listening to the Chicago Bullseye, and he just like took all the complaints we had, rolled them all up, and made a press conference that addressed all of those things, such as minutes, things such as playing your best basketball at the end of the season, talking about an up-tempo offense, talking about spreading the floor, talking about three-pointers, Fred. I mean, did you hear this press conference?
Of course. It was like music to my ears, talking about the importance of three-pointers, about movement in the offense. It was I mean, I almost started crying, openly weeping.
I thought it was like the first time you listened to like Sergeant Pepper or something. It was like that sort of a moment. I mean, he was saying all the right things there, wasn't he?
It was unbelievable. It really was. Like all the things I've been harping on for the last, you know, 10 years were pretty much he pretty much hit. You know, spacing, the importance of hitting the three, and I think you know, today was one of the biggest days. And Doug McDermott's going to look back and thank God that the Bulls made this hire. I'm a little shocked. There's still some people out there who don't believe, you know, this guy can do it. And I just want to ask, you know, well, number one, I do kind of agree that, you know, the most important thing is talent. But as a coach, the most important thing is to put your players in their position to succeed. I think he's more likely to do that, to take his talent and adapt his system to the talent. as opposed to having the team or the talent adapt to the system, as was the case with Thibodeau.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would absolutely agree with you. And he talked about, you know, his system being one of ball movement and taking good shots. And he specifically talked to about not taking mid-range shots, not taking low-percentage shots, saying that he's a man of the analytics, but that, you know, he's trying to give an example of where the analytics don't always speak volumes. And he's like, you know, there's certain principles that I like to live by as a whole. And it's like, you know, don't take bad shots. And it's just think about the last year. I think we led the league in air balls or something. No, we led the league in running out of with the shot clock running out, having the offense have the shot clock run out. That we led the league in that.
Unbelievable.
It sounds like that's something that will not be an issue with Fred Hoiberg. I mean, he wants to move the ball around. He wants to take good shots. Everybody's creating shots for each other. Somebody asked a question about Derek and Jimmy, and he talked about how dynamic the two of them can be together and that, you know, there really shouldn't be any issues. And, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, it is just basketball. You know what I mean? It is Iowa State, but, you know, upon looking at his numbers at Iowa State, Fred, going back to the – so Iowa State's been pretty – I would say pretty mediocre since 06-07. So 06-07, they were 15-16. 07-08, they were 14-18. 15 wins again, 15 wins again. So for 5 years in a row, they won pretty much 15 games. Fred Hoiberg comes in. They break 500 his first year. By his second year, they're 23-11. They're 23-12 his next year. His fourth year, they're 28-8. And by his fifth year there, they're 25-9. They were a 3 seed last year. You took a team that wasn't even close to a tournament team, and I think that he's made the tournament 4 years in a row now. I mean, he's made it 4 years in a row. That's not easy. And to switch a culture, I mean, that's what you're speaking of there, and I mean, it's easier with kids than it probably is with adults, but I mean, you know, I almost feel like this is going to be like, can you imagine what Derek and Jimmy and Joakim must be feeling right now? The fact that they can go back to, they don't have to hide behind the walls of the Advocate Center worrying about grumpy old, you know, gremlin Tibbs coming out of his office and screaming at them for 48 minutes of practice intensity at 4 o'clock in the morning. I mean, you know, I got to imagine that they're doing backflips, that they're seeing somebody that did change the culture of somewhere. And they're going to probably be very receptive to him because he's going to be such a breath of fresh air, I would think, considering that they had, you know, the whipping boy kind of there before.
Well, let me say something about his career, too, at Iowa State. Like, I saw someone, you know, make a comment. Well, I would be more happy if he didn't have so much trouble with beating 14 seeds. You know, referencing to the fact that Iowa State got upset last year in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Well, number one, every great college coach has had, for the most part, an upset in the first round where they've got knocked out. Bill Self, there's a ton of coaches that have lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. And, you know, so the guy's making a joke. Well, you know, he couldn't beat a 14 seed. Well, he did the year before. They beat the 14 seed as a 3 seed. They went on to beat North Carolina, which was the 6 seed. And then they lost to Connecticut in the Elite Eight, which was the I can't remember, it might have been Sweet 16. I can't remember where they lost to Connecticut, who eventually was
the national
champion. But, I mean, you don't – come on, it's a different animal. The fact of the matter is he was 4-4 over his career in the NCAA tournament. That's a better winning percentage than, you know, Tom Thibodeau had in the playoffs for the Chicago Bulls. So, you know, if he can end up somewhere around 500, you know, overall – I don't think that's a bad thing. I think overall, you know, my goal, obviously, you want to see him be well over 500 in the playoffs. That usually is significant, you know, signifies success in the playoffs. But, you know, there's going to be some years where the Bulls aren't going to have the talent and get knocked out first round. It's just the nature of the business, the nature of coaching. The most important thing is the talent, and as a coach, you can only do so much. I just think this team, one thing I disagree with a lot of people, I keep on hearing people say that this past season was our best chance to win. I would only concur with that if you're just going by the fact that the Cavs were so hurt. But I disagree with it if your assumption is the Bulls won't be better next year. I think the Bulls will be much better next year. The delta on Nico and the delta on McDermott and, you know, another year of playing together. And I think Rose is going to, you know, really have a great year next year. I think in Jimmy, I mean, they're still a young team for the most part. And hopefully, you know, Noah with a year rest will come back strong in a contract year. I still feel the team has the potential to be better next year. Now, is that going to be good enough to be Cleveland if they're healthy? Cleveland played pretty good without Irving. You know, I'm not saying that they're better without him, but I don't know how much better they are. And, you know,
that's my thing. I agree with you there, Fred. Like, they don't seem like they're that much better without him. And it's like they seem like they're about the same whether they got him or not. It's just like maybe it's just LeBron's that good, so it's just beating LeBron. I don't think that even if Love goes back there, like, look, we almost beat that Cavaliers team earlier at the last game we played him of the season. We almost beat him without Derrick Rose. So it's like, you know, on the road. It's just, you know, the right set of circumstances, the right coach. I mean, look at the Golden State Warriors, man. Just look at the goal. I mean, I don't want to say that – I don't want to put that kind of pressure on Fred Hoiberg, but I'm just saying the Golden State Warriors were a perennial out-in-the-first-round team. The team hasn't changed that much between last year and this year. The only thing that's really changed is the coach, and that team now is going to the finals, and they're, like, clearly the best team in the league. The fact is that we have the talent to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. I feel like we do. We believed we did at the beginning of the season, and that was before we realized that Jimmy Butler was an all-star, was the type of player that he is. The fact that we know that now, I don't understand why everybody's so down on us, because you're right, I agree with you. If it was based upon the fact that Cleveland was bleeding and we should have bitten on it, especially considering that we're up 2-1 in the series, I agree with that. But we had injuries. You know, obviously Powell being out, you know, they had injuries to a lot of things. The right set of circumstances, and I still think that we could beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. We just need the right set of circumstances. You know, I mean, you see a lot of teams that in throughout the history of the NBA that, like, they have their Achilles heel. They keep going against them in the playoffs time and time again. The Knicks were one of those teams with us back when we were winning championships. The Pistons were for us, one of those teams. You just keep nailing them. And, you know, are we ever going to be able to be that team? All you got to do is beat them once to feel like you beat LeBron.
Yeah. Also, too, people forget the Bulls had a 22nd pick in the upcoming draft. And, you know, I saw some mock drafts that had them taking DeLon Wright from Utah. I think that'd be an excellent pick. I think there's some talent there potentially. So, you know, who knows what the team's going to look like next year? Who knows what Cleveland's going to look like next year? Are you 100% confident that J.R. Smith's going to be there next year? You know, Shumpert, are they going to bring back all those players? Can they officially do that? I don't know.
Are they on contract? I have no idea.
No, I think Shumpert's on. I think going to be a free agent. Same with J.R. Smith, I believe. I might be wrong on that, but.
Well, I don't think you have. You ever seen any of the? Have you ever seen LeBron have a problem keeping players? They always stay with him. So, yeah, why would they leave? If they win a title, and they very well may, man. If Cleveland offers them the money, why would they leave? I mean, they're also being hailed very. They're getting it. I mean, in this series, they're going to be in the national spotlight. And at least for J.R. Smith, this is a chance for him to finally, you know, kind of shed that that cloud that's been hanging over his head his whole career about his attitude, which I think has always been bogus.
Yeah. So his current contract, J.R. Smith signed a 3-year, $17 million contract with the New York Knicks in. God, when was that signed? He's a free agent in 2016, unrestricted free agent. So I think that means he's, you know, still off a contract for this year. He's got one more year. Yep, he's got one more year.
Yeah, Smith has a player option, and Shumpert has a qualifying offer.
Well,
so they're going to get
Smith.
They'll take it, $3 million.
Smith is going to take a player option, I bet. I mean, he's going to get more money than that. Absolutely, he will.
6.3? Yeah, I don't know if he'll get more than 6.3.
Absolutely he will. Are you kidding me? If he keeps on playing like he is right now in the playoffs, he's absolutely going to get more money.
We should go get him, frankly.
I know you're a big fan, and I know he can't shoot well enough to win a game for you, but overall, I don't know. I'm not a big believer in J.R. Smith. I think there's other things we should go after.
Fine. I mean, look, if they win the title this year, J.R. Smith is a huge reason, and you got to give J.R. Smith a ton of credit. I mean, he was huge for them against us in that series. I mean, and the fact is that, you know, our King Paxson, when we got J.R. Smith and we got our hands on him, we wouldn't even let him play. We just cut him. And you see that he was like one of the key players in whooping our butts when we played him in the second round.
So Shumpert is a free. He's got restricted free agent, 2015 and 16, making $4 million per year. I mean, that's next to nothing. Geez, that's a good deal. And I thought he played really well against the Bulls. You know, he's a good defensive perimeter player. I mean, I'd rather have J.R. Smith, a good defender. I know some people are probably laughing at that, but he's younger and he's definitely, you know, he can't shoot as well. But that's a good question. Who would you rather have, Shumpert or J.R. Smith? I'd probably 9 out of 10 would say J.R. Smith. I'll take Shumpert.
I think J.R. Smith. Dude, they have a $10 million team option on Brendan Haywood, who's making $2 million this year. Why would you have that? Why would you have that in the contract? That sounds so weird.
Who knows? Maybe it's just, you know, give flexibility to the team. So wait, what is it? It's a $10 million team option. So they can
team
just
option,
pay that?
And he's only making $2 million. So he's making $2 million this year, and then next year he's got a $10 million team option. At least that's what it says on HoopSide.
That means they can just pay the $10 million and cut him?
No, that means that they can either pay $10 million to keep Brendan Haywood's services for another year, or they could just cut him. So obviously he's not going to be there next year.
Hmm. Yeah, interesting.
You're not going to pay him $10 million.
It's not like he's an important member of the team.
No, it just seems very strange. Why would he have a $10 million player option? But anyways, Fred, I'm excited by what Fred Hoiberg said today. That being said, I mean, you know, whatever. I mean, I think we both are in agreement. You're really excited about it. I'm optimistically excited about it. You know, God willing, Fred. We didn't do a show after the Tom Thibodeau firing, though. We did do one, actually, ironically, the day before. Neither of us knew that he was going to get fired, obviously. We don't have sources as much as we try to make it sound like we do. But we did that show, the last show, the day before he got fired. But since the firing, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that, like just how it went down. You know, the Bulls took a ton of heat here. A lot of it, I think, unfair. It was they took a ton of heat for the way that they handled firing Tom Thibodeau, and I really don't have a problem with it. I mean, what the comments that Jerry Reinsdorf said, they created a lot of controversy. And my thing is, in my personal opinion, this guy. Well, before I say what my opinion is, most people are going to say, well, you know, like, why even say anything? Why create something? Be the bigger man. And my thing is, look. Thibodeau ran this team's face through the mud this year. He publicly made us look terrible. And you could look at Jeff Van Gundy, who's still working his mouth on about the Chicago Bulls. You could look at, you know, all these things that got out into the media where this was constantly a distraction. Somebody after game one of the second round series made this a distraction. And I'm sure that it was Tom Thibodeau's people. And it's just throughout the season it became about Tom. It was never about the team. It became some like freak show for him. So with that regard, you know, the team gets thrown under the bus. It makes us look terrible. And on national TV multiple times a season, I think that you have the right to just say, look, I mean, like, this is the type of culture we want to have. And this guy didn't, you know, he wasn't really pushing that culture. He was kind of breaking the rules a little bit. Because it's like, this guy didn't do you any favors when he was working for you. Now he comes out with a nice statement today about everything. But it's like, you know what, Thibodeau, F you, man. During the season, you could have tried to calm this situation down, but you didn't. You let this spectacle be a spectacle because you are such a grumpy old pig.
Well, I don't know about that. All I know is that, you know, I thought he did it. People were saying that the Bulls were petty and, you know, mean and non-professional in their statement. You know what I thought was petty and unprofessional, waiting 9 months and ungrateful, waiting 9 months to sign a contract and you had come to an agreement as you did at the end of 2012 and let that go into 2013. You know, for what reason? What was your reason behind that? You know, he did all these irritating things that just anybody with who had, you know, who doesn't have a personality disorder, who has bosses, he tried to get along with them. He made no attempt to do that. You know, I just felt like the guy just clearly has some issues with his personality. You know, people think it's great. You know, I don't have time for a woman. And I'm like, you think that's great? You really want to have a boss that's all about work and it doesn't have time for a woman? I mean, to me, that's like a big flashing light going off that this guy doesn't have his priorities really in place. I mean,
Everybody he's George thinks, Costanza. He's George Costanza.
Everybody thinks you're job. Well, at least George Costanza found time for, you know, life outside of his job. And just from what I heard, and the thing that really sticks with me is what Fridell said, is that, you know, everybody's talking about the issues between management and the coach. Nobody's talking about the issues between the players and the coach. And you saw, you know, Dan Burns state that there were three starters who would say they wouldn't show up at the Advocate Center this summer if you know, Tibbs is still at the team. A lot of anger about him. And I think those guys, based on their remarks, were Rose, Jimmy, and Noah. I felt like, I don't know what it was, but if you look at his quotes all year, Noah was pretty angry with a couple of reporters who were trying to, you know, imply, you know, steer some questions his way. And he said, do you really think I need a coach to play hard? You know, kind of taking offense to the fact that, you know, they were trying to, I think that the line of questioning was trying to get Noah to say something great about Tibbs, and he just took it and slammed it in their face. And so I think there's an issue with Noah. I think there's an issue with Jimmy. I found it very strange that Jimmy didn't talk at all. You know, and if you're in love with Thibodeau as your head coach, you would have said something. And then also Rose. You know, Rose, I listened to that, and you can go to Bulls.com and see his whole interview in that post game, and people jumped all over him about the comment about spend some time with the family. I mean, come on, man. Talk about taking something out of context. He spent the whole interview basically saying, you know, how he's going to work hard. He's going to work hard this summer, get better as a basketball player. And he had one throwaway line about the only good thing, you know, he's spending a little bit more time with the family. And people are all over him about it. Come on, get a life, man. Jeez, it wasn't that bad. But I don't think Rose was a big fan. I think what his comment was I don't mind Tibbs being my coach. It's not exactly a ringing endorsement, you know. The players had it with the guy. So
he made other comments that I thought were nice, but I agree with you. It was clear, look, we gave up that last game. And the fact that that became a issue again in that series, you can't have that kind of drama. That's just ridiculous. I've never seen drama like this with a coach. I've never seen it before.
I also think that he's going to have a lot harder job, time in the job than most people think. You know, he didn't even get interviewed for a Lando job.
None of them. Pelicans hired too. Who has an opening?
New Orleans. Denver still has an opening, and then he goes out and says, I have no interest in Denver's job. And I started laughing because, you know, that's funny. They had zero interest in you. I didn't hear anyone from that organization or anywhere I read that said they had a remote bit of interest in Tom Thibodeau as their head coach. So, you know, Alvin Gentry gets the job in New Orleans without, you know, and I understand Jeff Van Gundy was trying to get that job, which made it a little bit more complicated. But maybe the owners and the general managers saw what went down in Chicago and saw his petty actions in 2012 with the contract and saw all the complaints he had and him running his players in the ground. Oh, I don't know. Maybe you don't want to bring a guy in like that. A guy with a losing playoff record. Who, you know, who's not done anything really in the playoffs with a pretty talented team. I don't know. Maybe it's just something you don't want to bring in, a guy who clearly has personality disorder. I think the guy's meant to be an assistant coach. He's an excellent assistant coach. He can run the defense really well. But he seems resistant to change, seems resistant to do, you know, what modern-day offenses are doing, the modern-day how they're resting players. It's one thing I love about Hoiberg as an aside. He did mention that he believes in resting his players, which – you know, everyone else is doing in this league, but, you know, the Bulls for the last few years. So I think I think he's going to have a little bit harder job than what most people, you know, would think. I do see an opportunity for him to coach the Lakers just because Kobe, I know, does like him, and they go way back, and, you know, they're going to suck again, and they'll blame it on the coach, and they'll bring him in, and they'll make him mildly better. But they're not going to win anything in the West, especially in the West. So
no, I don't see him coaching this offseason. Maybe next year. I mean, like you said, maybe with the Lakers, if they suck again, get another good draft choice. You fire Byron Scott, maybe. But I don't think all the coaching vacancies are full now. So it's like, other than Denver. But I don't see him going to Denver. And, you know, he's very picky to get this Bulls job. But he's going to see right now he was lucky to have it. And he took it for granted. And, you know, go out there now. You go to another team, go to some crappy-ass team that you can't, you know, go to Denver or a team like that where you're not going to make them competitive in the West, in the Lakers. you're not going to be revered the same way. Look at guys like Mike D'Antoni. Mike D'Antoni had a gold reputation when he left Phoenix. Within like 2 years in New York, his reputation was mud. That could be Tom Thibodeau. That's what I see it.
That's
being.
A great point. That's a great point, Mark. Excellent point. And you know what? I do kind of feel like too that he'll look back, as you said, and I kind of made this point earlier too in an earlier show, that he'll look back and see that probably 2010-11 was his best chance to win a title. And also this year, I felt like this year's team had enough talent to win a title. I don't think wherever he goes, he'll ever have a better group of players than those two teams. Yeah, how it's not that easy to find, you know, the MVP like he had in 2010-11 and find a team that's talented up and down with two former All-Stars, two current All-Stars as the Bulls were this year, and the, you know, Rookie of the Year.
An MVP candidate
team.
Last year.
Yeah, it's just, it's insane. You know, you're going to find that easily? Really? In an easier conference? I don't see that happening. So, you know, he'll look back on his career when it's all said and done, when he has no titles and as a head coach, and say, wow, you know, they really blew it there.
Yeah, I think people are really overrating here. I mean, when I've been listening to the radio, everybody's just like talking about how great of a coach he is. And it's just like, what did he do that makes him so great? I mean, he won Coach of the Year his first year. After that, frankly, from what it sounds, especially the last 2 years, it just sounds like he's kind of a mess. I mean, whatever. Anybody who's... It's not just about not beating Cleveland. This team underachieved this year. We had better aspirations, and it's not just because of injuries. This team wasn't good before the injuries. They weren't playing very well before Rose went down again, and Jimmy. You know, I mean, that it made them a little bit worse, but we expected more. We expected more consistency, and we expected more of an effort day in and day out. It clearly wasn't there, so I just don't understand why you see so many people right now questioning the move and going down on Bulls management's throat. I mean, there was no choice. There was no choice. I find it a little odd that you had these rumors about Fred Hoiberg months ago, and it's just like you fire Thibodeau within like a day. He's hired. That I found a little weird, but whatever.
Yeah, I agree too. I mean, I find it weird in general how the whole national audience, you know, like Jeff Van Gundy thought, you know, they went out just, you know, criticized him for being classless. I'm like, come on. That's an impartial observer. You're going to take that opinion? Why don't we hear what Jim Paxton thinks of John to even it out? I mean, give me a break. I mean, and nationally, I just thought the reaction in general was just – all this front office tried to do was get a handle basically on how this guy treated his team, how to control the minute situation. It just – it was untenable. And I just think Thibodeau, in order for him to succeed with the talent like he did, he's got to have a specific type of team. It's got to be a team of young players that are hungry, that are the type that work hard. And if you have vets in that team, you saw it with Rip Hamilton, who didn't buy into him whatsoever. Rip Hamilton won a title. Was Rip Hamilton a big loser? No, he just didn't do things the Tom Thibodeau way. And you saw it in the statements he made. And I just don't think it's got to be like a perfect storm for that guy to succeed. You throw him on a team with vets, I think it's going to be an unmitigated disaster. And that's what basically happened this year, is that the Bulls became, you know, a team of vets. And they just didn't buy into what he was selling anymore. You know, Tom Thibodeau can only coach a certain type of player. It's got to be Taj and Noah. Derrick Rose, the type of players that want to work hard and want to be coached. The NBA is not filled with those type of players. It's filled, you know, I'd love to see that guy try to coach Cousins. I think that would last about 3 months before he, you know, Cousins would literally rip him in half. It's not, there's some guys that are not made to be with Tom Thibodeau. Then that lessens, you know, the talent pool for guys like Pax and Gar to go after. I think Hoiberg is going to be able to get the most out of a broader base of talent, and allow the Bulls to have more options come the trading deadline to go and get players. Are you done yet?
I apologize. So
in the world,
I was eating a popsicle and it broke off the stick and it was like all in my mouth at once and it was like freezing cold.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I needed a moment to, you know, take it in.
Holy gosh. I don't want to talk about your weekends.
I apologize, but I agree with you. I don't know if Fred Hoiberg's necessarily that guy. I guess we'll find out. But it was clear the change was needed. Hoiberg is saying all the right things. You're right. Tom Thibodeau needs to be – I don't know. I kind of agree with you more that I think that he's a better assistant coach. I just don't know if he has the personality to coach a basketball team. You know, I don't know if he'd be good for a bunch of hungry young players because, you know, he had talent here. I don't know how he would be with a team that doesn't have talent because, you know what? I feel like he gave up on us this year. We didn't give up on him. I feel like he gave up on us, man, and that really hurts. It feels like that dad that doesn't pay child support. You're just like, dude, come on, man. You didn't have our back.
I don't think he gave up on us. I don't think it was a matter of him quitting. I just think he lost the team. You know, they weren't buying what he was selling anymore, and that happens. You know, that happens after 5 years. It's why, you know, in general, the NBA coaches don't last that long. I think Thibodeau had the fourth longest, shelf life. He was with the team the fourth longest, and the other three ahead of him all had won titles. So it's only a matter of time. You're eventually going to lose your job in the NBA. So it's very rare to find a guy like, you know, Popovich.
Sure.
And, you know, one thing I do want to say, Popovich, he had Tim Duncan with him for the vast majority of his career. You know.
Didn't he?
That was another thing I wanted to mention is, you know, Thibodeau didn't walk into a situation without talent. He walked into a situation with Derrick Rose in his third year, who was just exploding at that point. He walked into a situation with Taj Gibson and Jakeem Noah, two fantastic interior defenders. Carlos Boozer signed as a free agent, who during his first 2 years I did not think was that bad. Still a valuable
Omer Sheik.
Kyle Korver, Omer Sheik. The team was loaded with talent. It's not like Vinny's team the year before, without Ben Gordon. Vinny did not, the year before, the last year of Vinny, you know, I'm not saying Vinny was a good coach, but he did manage to finish 500 with an injury-plagued team. People forget how many injuries that team had. And, it's mistaken to believe that, you know, suddenly we were awful and then all of a sudden we got great. Yeah, we got great because we brought in a lot more talent. You got rid of a bum like Kirk Heinrich. You brought in, you know, a bunch of good role players like Ronnie Brewer and Kyle Korver and, you know, CJ Watson. It was just a ton of good moves.
Do you think that Fred Hoiberg was brought in because of Doug McDermott? Like, you know that he is going to play Doug McDermott. Doug McDermott is going to get his opportunity.
Well, I hope so because I'm a big believer in Doug McDermott. I saw Doug McDermott in college. I thought he was one of the best shooters I've ever seen, and that's one thing that you usually don't lose. That's an ability that you usually have. It just you don't go from being a great shooter to being terrible. And I felt like after his injury, in the few minutes that he did get to play, I thought he played pretty well after that knee injury. He just rarely played. And, you know, I thought I saw a lot of good signs from Doug. I think he's going to be an excellent ball player. I think he's got post-up ability that was never utilized. I think he's a lot more versatile than just being a three-point shooter, and that's what Tom Thibodeau wanted him to be, just sit at the three-point line. And, you know, but Thibodeau didn't put him in position to succeed. You don't go in the second quarter, in the middle of the second quarter, with Tony Snell and Nico Mirotic next to you. He's basically playing him with, you know, not the better players on the team. If you wanted McDermott to succeed and develop confidence, you should have played him with starters, you know, like good players, and find a spot for him to come in to maybe rest Butler, you know, or the better defenders. Don't put him next to Snell and Nico, who, you know, we're also learning, you know. He just didn't do the things that you needed to do to you know, put some of his players in, especially on the offensive end, in to succeed. He didn't do it with Korver. He didn't do it with Marco Bellinelli. You know, he did it with the guys that he likes defensively, but not with the offensive type of players. So I'm looking forward to change.
I am. It's unfortunate now, though, that, you know, it just happens today, and now we have to wait an entire offseason to see these changes take effect, but I do look forward to them, and I'm glad that the Bulls made the move early on, so, you know, Hoiberg's going to have a lot of time during the next, few months to start looking at tape and getting acquainted with the team, and, you know, I look forward to it. I look forward to the finals, too, so that's right around the corner. I think we gave our predictions on the last.
I just wish the season started. I'm so excited. And already for the season to start. So Hey, man,
care about the Blackhawks. I know you get the Stanley Cup Finals right now. It's just like it doesn't even like rate. It's just not on my radar.
Oh, that's gonna be fun. Come on, man. You should give it. You should give it a little bit of a cursory view. It's good stuff. I'm not kidding.
Have you been watching it?
I have. I have. My father's really into hockey, so he's got me, you know, quasi interested. It's exciting. Good stuff, and frankly, the Blackhawks organization puts all the other Chicago, you know, franchises to shame. I mean, this is the third time they're getting to the finals. I mean, you know, that's pretty stinking impressive, any way you look at it. So, you know, hopefully the Bulls can, you know, be even approaching the success of the Blackhawks.
Oh, absolutely, but it seems for whatever reason like it's easier in hockey to have that kind of success, because if you remember, before the Blackhawks made their first Stanley Cup, they were the longest team in all of the NHL not to make it to the Stanley Cup, which I think is like the longest tenured, and that was like the 60s. In basketball, mm-hmm. You have longer droughts than that. I mean, in most sports, you do.
Well, it shows the importance of getting the right guys into the organization, you know, and really at the top. And that's one thing I think it's been a little bit unfair about Darren Pax. If you look at, I think for the past 10 years, I think we've had one losing season in 10 years. You know, they rarely, I know they get hammered for the draft picks where Tyrus Thomas traded. You know, how did they get that draft pick? Well, they traded a bum like Eddie Curry to get that draft pick. So, you know, you're not picking high the way they were. And, you know, you're able to, you know, basically, you know, get a lot of talent with a lot of late picks. I think they've done a good job.
Yeah, I mean, they've drafted well. They've gotten – yeah, you're right. And do you think about how this team was when Paxton came in. This team was terrible. It had been – we had a culture of being terrible. The team had been bad for many years at that point. They were the gutter of the NBA. And, I mean, within one season of Paxton coming here, the team was back in the playoffs. And we've been in the playoffs every year, like you say, besides one. And what happened that one year? I mean, don't criticize that year because we got D. Rose.
Absolutely. So, you know, overall, he's done a good job. Like I said, last 10 years, how many franchises can say they had one losing season? You know?
Right. Not many. Well, hallelujah, Fred. Another great show. Go Golden State?
I'm hoping they'll win. I think it's going to be a little bit tougher than, you know, people seem to think it will be. I got Golden State in six.
Golden State and six over here, my man, too.
All right, brother. Let's do a show after the first game of the finals.
Let's do it.
All right, my man.
Until then, if it ain't Bulls.
It ain't basketball.
Take care, big guy.
All right, you too, man. Take it easy.